So I've entitled this sermon, Not Good News. We know what good news is. The word gospel means good news. Evangelize means to bring the good news. But in the churches in Galatia, there were people who were evangelizing with not good news. So have you ever received bad news about someone you love? Seems to be always happening somewhere to someone. Someone you love has illness, or they're falling away from following the Lord. That's such painful. Marriage breakups. Remember people from went to seminary with us, and we loved them, and it seemed like a wonderful couple, and yet their marriage broke up. It's not just adults. I can remember the first girl that I liked and actually went out on dates with. And about November, I caught a really bad pneumonia, and I was out for a long time. And about 3 weeks after I got sick, I had a phone call from a friend saying, Mark, has anybody told you? That's never a good sign. And my girlfriend that we would, I guess it was, really I couldn't call her my girlfriend, the girl that I really liked, obviously she didn't like me as much. We had gone out on a double date, and she started to go out with a guy who was in the double date. And I just, I don't know, I was maybe 16 or 17, I just felt like I'd been kicked in the stomach. I just felt so awful. Like, why couldn't you tell me yourself? Or, well, that wouldn't have been much better. But, you know, to hear from it, it was awful. And that was just boy-girl stuff. But, you know, there's many more difficult times in our lives when we hear good news, bad news about someone that we love. Well, Paul and Barnabas had just come home from a missions trip. And they weren't in New Guinea, but they were in Turkey, or in the region of the Galatian churches. And they had encouraged the churches. Just before they left, they said, we want you to remain true to the faith. And earlier on, when the first church that they went to, the people were so interested in the gospel, and Paul and Barnabas both encouraged them to continue in the grace of God. But after some time, Paul and Barnabas, being at home in Antioch in Syria, they received news. And it was about the Galatian churches, and it was not good news. False teachers had moved in, and they were corrupting the gospel, the good news. They were saying it's not enough just to have faith in Jesus Christ, that what he has done has made you right with God. You still have to keep to all the Jewish laws and regulations. And all you guys, you have to be circumcised. Bad news. And then, if that wasn't enough, they were slandering Paul. And they were saying, Paul just said those things to get you to come to follow him. He left all the bad parts out, the circumcision part and following after all the laws. He just left those all out so that he could get you to follow him. And so this letter of the Galatian churches is how Paul, from the church at Antioch, responded to this situation. Now, honestly, I forgot it was Good Friday, on Friday and Palm Sunday. I thought we had another week in there. You know how Easter seems to float around in time. But it so happens that in this passage, it talks about what Jesus did. So we'll be considering, first of all, the unusual greeting or salutation in the letter. That's the verses 1-5. And then Paul talks about the not very good situation in verses 6 and 7. And then he gives a solution, but he uses really strong language in this solution. in verses 8 to 10. So the pastor at the church where I met Joan was a really good pastor, a good preacher, and he came and taught us at seminary how to take a Bible study and put it into a sermon. And he went through the beginning of one of Paul's letters. And he said, this first few verses is who's who and how do you do? In the first century, when Paul lived, the way you wrote a letter was you put your name at the top. You're the one it was coming from. And our letters, we put it at the bottom. You know, yours truly, or love you lots, sweetheart, or, you know, your husband, whatever. Paul starts it off at the beginning, and he goes, Paul, and then he has a little bit of a break, and then he says, and all the brothers and sisters with me. So that's the people at Antioch. That's the letter. It's from Antioch. It's from Paul. And then in the middle, he says, or at least at the end, he says, grace and peace to you. So that's our dear so-and-so. So who's it from? Who's it to? And the greetings. But Paul does it a lot differently. And then hold your horses. We're going to go through some of Paul's letters. 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. That's how he says. 2 Timothy, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Titus, he says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. And then he keeps on going. He's talking to Pastor Timothy and Pastor Titus, and he's encouraging them in their ministry. In Philemon, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Very short. We go back to Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and from Timothy, our brother. Philippians says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. 1 Corinthians, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That was the standard thing that Paul said. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In Romans, he adds a lot because he's talking about the gospel. And then he gives hints of what he's going to be talking about sometimes. And Romans is a really long one. And we'll skip that one, but you can read it on your own. And here in Galatians, we've already read it. Paul, an apostle, and then he doesn't say by the will of God. He starts off by saying, not by the will of man, not from men, or from one man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Right away, that's unusual for Paul. And you kind of get a hint of what he's going to be talking about. There's somebody who's saying that Paul is not an apostle. So that's how he starts it. And he says, I'm an apostle not from or by humans. In other words, Paul said, I didn't become an apostle because the apostles in Jerusalem said, okay, you can be an apostle now. No, apostles are chosen by Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I was chosen by Jesus Christ too. I wasn't chosen at the same time as the other 12, but later, but I was still chosen by Jesus and by God the Father. And it's interesting to notice almost everything he says in these few verses, it says, by Jesus Christ and by the will of God the Father. Even when he's given the greeting, grace and peace, it's from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then interspersed in there with his apostleship is the gospel. There are only three verbs in this passage, in this greeting section. And one is that God raised Jesus from the dead, raised, who gave himself for our sins. Jesus delivered himself over for our sins. He was a sin offering, just like in the Old Testament. And a bull or a lamb or a goat was given for our sins. But Hebrews tells us that the blood of goats or blood of a bull, there's no way it can ever take away our sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, his blood was given to God for our sins. It paid the penalty for our sins. And for what purpose? It says to rescue us from this present evil age. Not only have we have had our sins forgiven, we have a new life that has a different setting than the one that we lived in formerly. We are not citizens or partakers of this present age, which is governed by the evil one. But we are rescued. In Colossians, it says we were delivered from the dominion of darkness and brought in as co-inheritors with God's people of the kingdom of light. And that was also according to the will of God, our God and Father. All these things were Jesus and God the Father working together as a team to bring us into fellowship with him. And you'll have to notice that Paul uses that same team of God the Father and Jesus our Lord as basis for his apostleship. You can't deny the fact that it was God and the Lord Jesus who brought us salvation. And Paul says, and you can't deny, talking to the Galatians, that it was God and Jesus who brought me into the apostleship. So that's the unusual salutation or greeting. And then in verses 6 and 7, he talks about the not good situation. And he uses very urgent and strong language here. And he uses the present tense because it's an ongoing situation. Even as Paul was writing to them, this is what was happening there in Galatia and in Paul's being in the church at Antioch. He says, for me, I am astonished. He said, I've been astonished ever since I read your letter or the news that came to me. What can you say is a modern equivalent of just astonished? Amazed, yeah.
Shocked.
Good one. Gobsmacked. That's an English one that we learned when we lived in England. Just, it's just so unreal. Those people that Paul had brought to the Lord and had seen the grace of God work in their lives, and suddenly, what? They're turning away? And Paul says it. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting. And he uses a word, deserting. Well, we know what that is. That's when you leave the army that you're serving in and you run away. And you don't want to be in the fight. And it can be even worse than that. You can be deserting to the enemy and going back to what you were before you came to Christ. And he says, so quickly. It's just been a little while since they were there and Paul had been giving them their blessing, his blessing and God's blessing, and telling them to stay true to the good news and to the faith. And who are they deserting? He said, the one who called you by the grace of Christ, or who called you to live in the grace of Christ. Different versions. Who is the one who called them? It was God. God's Holy Spirit spoke the word to them into their hearts so that they could hear and respond. And you're deserting the one who brought you into his grace so quickly? Why? What is your motivation for doing this? And it's the purpose is so that you can be turning to a very different gospel. It's not the same gospel at all. They were saying, the false teachers were saying, oh, Paul didn't tell you everything in this, but this is really the same good news. And the other guys say, well, circumcision is not good news, by the way. But they were getting hooked into following all of the laws of the Jewish tradition in the Old Testament. Wow. Turning away to a very different, and it's still the word good news. The false teachers were saying, this is good news. And Paul says, no, that's not good news at all. It's not really good news. It's not actually good news. It's bad news. It's not the same. And Paul said, someone is disturbing you. Someone is shaking you up. And it's throwing you into confusion. You're not thinking straight. You can't be thinking straight if you think that's good news. That's not good news. Someone is disturbing you. Well, who could that be? Well, all the way along, as we went through Paul's first missionary journey, there were people who came from Antioch, and they got the people in the towns to turn away from Paul. And some of them, they got them so much upset that they stoned Paul. Hostile to Paul's message. And even in the very first church that he preached in Antioch, they were contradicting what he said. They were contradicting the message. So these were the ones who were coming in. They were probably the false teachers. And they were disturbing you, and they were desiring, Paul said, to pervert the good news, to completely change the good news. The message of Paul that he preached, that is the gospel, is that we cannot do anything to save ourselves. We cannot try really hard to keep all of the things we know that God wants. We're never going to be saved that way. It's only because of God's riches and of grace to us that he provides another way. And he's provided it through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Then the solution in verses 8 to 10. And there's a bit of grammar here, which is, you know me, I find it interesting. Paul says if 3 times. And we know if we say if, then it means that there's something possible. But in the Greek language, there were several different meanings of if, in how it was used. And the first one is possibly. That's the one that we usually think of if. And so if possibly, and he gives a scenario. If we, that's Paul and Barnabas, or an angel from heaven should preach a different good news, we should evangelize, but our story is different than what we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. That sounds pretty awful. He says, if possibly, if even if I did it, or Barnabas did it, or an angel came down from heaven and gave you a different good news than what you've already been heard from us, then that person is accursed. Wow. And then Paul uses a different if in the next sentence. He says, oh, we told you this, and I'm going to tell you again. And then he changes his ifs. And he says, if this actually is the case. So it assumes that it's true. If actually, not possibly, if actually someone is preaching to you a good news that is contrary to what you've already received, let them be under God's curse. So what do you think it would mean if you said, let them be under God's curse? Well, I think you might not want to associate with them anymore, and you might kick them out of the church. Don't come back. We don't want to hear what you have to say. It's not what we know to be true in the gospel. Don't associate them. Don't listen to them. Warn other people against them so that they won't be led astray. And then, if they're under God's curse, that means that God's going to take care of them. And it won't be happy. They're already preaching the wrong news, and they're without hope themselves. So there's the first two whips. And then Paul switches from the gospel to what they were saying about Paul. And Paul was, they were saying, well, you know, he wasn't one of the 12 apostles. He's working on his own. He wrote away to one of those things in the back of magazines and got his PhD. You know those magazine things you can write away and get this? Joan's dad, he'd been taking a lot of correspondence Bible courses. When he finally did them through Liberty College down in the States. But as he was researching different ones, and he sent for information from all of them, one of them sent him back an ordination certificate. So he would say, now, you can't tell me that I'm wrong. I've got an ordination certificate. he was a fun guy. But that's what they were saying, slandering Paul. You know, he's not for real. He's not on the up and up. He's just trying to get you to follow him, and he's leaving off the things that are important. Yeah, it's nice, the story about Jesus, but Jesus was Jewish too, and he followed the law, and so you have to as well. And so Paul said, basically, come on, guys. Think about what they're saying about me. Is it really true? Am I trying to win people's approval now by what I'm saying? Or am I trying to win God's approval? Well, if you go around telling, well, let them be accursed by God, that's not really the way that they imagine Paul to be, trying to win people's approval. I don't think you can win people's approval by telling them, you're under God's curse. I know there's a time and a place when we tell people that if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're on a different path. And that leads up to a terrible place called hell. But that's not what Paul was trying to do. And he said, am I trying to please people? I don't think that if you got into a fight with Paul, that you come out on top. He had God's gift of words, and he had the Holy Spirit in him, and he had the apostleship that God had given to him. He was truly God's servant. And then he says the third if. And this if is not possibly and not actually. It's contrary to fact. I'm only going to assume it for argument's sake, but we all both know that it's false. And he says, if, contrary to fact, I were still trying to please people, then that would mean I would not be the servant of Christ. And was Paul the servant of Christ? Yes, he was. He had even been stoned. And he'd been through hardship after hardship. He was the servant of Christ. Strongly worded solution. Later on in Galatians, he says, I just wish that those people who are trying to get you to be circumcised, I wish they would just do it to themselves. He had some tough words to them. But what about for us? There is no other way that we can achieve peace with God apart from God's gracious gift to us. We can't get right with God or be reconciled with God by our own efforts. It has to come from God. And we know that apart from Christ, we're hopeless. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And apart from Jesus, we are still kept in bondage to our sins and to the age that we live in. We're captive in this present age. We can't get out of it without God's help. I mentioned Colossians before, but I'll read it again for us. We give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. We have been rescued from that. And so what are we now? Well, John says in Revelations that we are now companions together in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. We're not in that present evil age before. We are in the new age that has started when Christ came. And we will be going through the things that he went through. We join in suffering with our Savior. Why? Because we don't live the same way as we used to live and as other people live. And that's a rebuke. Oh, you're just goody two-shoes. You have to be honest in your work, in your workplace. My dad was told to sign off on a research paper when he worked for the government. It came out with ideas that were completely opposite to what the government wanted to enact. And they wanted him to go and change that research. And he said, no, I can't do that. And shortly after that, he took early retirement. What's it mean to live in this world as people who want to be godly, who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus? Paul told Timothy, you're going to be persecuted. And Jesus said, rejoice that you're going to be persecuted. That's tough. No one likes to be laughed at or made fun of, but we realize they did that to our Lord. And he said, you're to follow in my steps. And if you want to follow my steps, if anyone wants to be my disciple, what do they have to do? They have to deny themselves and pick up a cross and follow. Christian life is not an easy living life. We don't expect that we are going to have lots of money. Oh, some people preach that, don't they? And everything's going to be all right for us, and we don't have to suffer illness. Someone we know whose parents have a different view of what to do if you're sick. And they said, well, just pray, because God doesn't want you to be sick. And fortunately, he went to the doctor and is getting chemotherapy for his cancer. Being a Christian is going following the narrow way. It's the way that is not popular. But that's the new age that we are in as Christians. And anyone who tells you otherwise, don't listen to them. It may sound nice, but it's not true. And I want to give you the benediction that Paul gave as the start in the book of Galatians. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.